Please stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing by the grace of God, I don't know about you, but I am still looking for the upper taker. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for King Jesus any day now, and I hope that you are. That is your great hope. Not a politician, but Jesus. And by the grace of God, as I preach in your hearing of a nation that has lost its light. Part 4, the lost souls of black folk and white folk. Part 10, altogether. Still a part of the Just Jesus evangelistic campaign. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And I'm going to deal with that more on next time, the spiritual drink. Verse 5 says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And I would venture to say that God is not well pleased with many of us who claim to be Christians today. And he slowly but surely is judging the church and dismantling the evil in the church and evil people in the church. You won't go long with God doing evil. The will of God grinds slow, but beloved, it grinds show. Show is the Negro vernacular for my dear white friends who are listening, for sure. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word. I thank you for leading us to park here a while, whether people like it or not. It does not matter, because this is not a people-driven situation. This is driven by you. It is your holy word, and it needs to be read in this day and time, whether people like it or not. And we thank you for what you told your servant Ezekiel, not to be concerned about their faces. And so, Holy Father God, we come before your throne of grace this morning, individually and hopefully collectively, as Bible-believing Christians. hopefully truly born-again Christians, confessing our sins and repenting of our sins, for they are many. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, for you are not pleased with many of us, and we all know who we are, and we know the sin that so easily besets us, and the weight that holds us down. It is no secret. So, Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon us. For those of us who are genuinely coming before your throne of grace, seeking your forgiveness, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive others. And help us to repent of all of our sins, the deep down sins in our hearts, and turn away from our evil ways, and to make necessary changes to avoid those sins and those temptations. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to repent and change from the inside out by the power of your Holy Spirit and your grace. And Lord, we do pray for the salvation of lost sinners and for the revival of saints across this country and around the globe. And we pray and we do thank you for those who come every day, some who come every day, and we thank you for their words of encouragement at this hard preaching. We know the devil is working, the devil is busy fighting against us, seeking to stop us, seeking to destroy us in this sin-cursed world. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll place upon us the whole armor of God and give us sweet victory today over the world, the flesh, and the devil, afresh and anew. And, Lord, I pray for special unction and anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word, Lord, again today. Glorify your holy name and lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue looking at the ways in which the example of the Old Testament Israelites compares to the New Testament church, or rather how we should take them as an example, as Paul talked about. Take note of these words from Dr. John Walvoord and Dr. Roy Zook from their fine commentary regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. They said the Israelites' fourth failure was the presuming of some to question the plan and purpose of God and their trek to Canaan. As a result, they were killed by snakes. Did the Corinthians think that they knew better than God the path that would bring them to heaven? I am convinced that we have many people, and this is one of the most shocking things about us. I believe that today many Christians think that they know, or rather they think that they know better than God what we should be doing in the church. That is the reason why so many have forsaken the clear instructions of our Lord and Savior, our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Pray without ceasing. Love everybody. Black, white, red, yellow. I'm convinced that in our pharaohistic pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, disobedience, and witchcraft. We think we know better than God about what we ought to be doing as the saints of God. And we have complicated things, and things are so convoluted, it will take God to get us out of the mess we have created. They go on to say Israel's fifth failure, which God disciplined with death, occurred when they spoke rebelliously against God's appointed leaders, Moses and Aaron. And we have a whole lot of that going on today. Was Paul facing a similar situation as an outgrowth of the Corinthians' party spirit? And don't we have a party spirit today? It is possible that each of these failures found expression in the Corinthian issue of eating food sacrificed to idols. God's dealings with Israel were more than a matter of historical curiosity for Paul. They were examples and warnings for the Corinthians that the God with whom they had to deal, who was bringing his interaction with people to a close in this fulfillment of the ages, was the same God who disciplined the Israelites with death and would do so again. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why I believe we have so much death in the church today. So many so-called church servant leaders dying, some dying by their own hands. You know why? Because they have, and many others have, done exactly what the Israelites did. They turned away from God, disobeyed God. Instead of praying, they were playing, committing the sin of idolatry, putting everything and everybody before God, before Jesus Christ. And it's all about the party and having fun. And so people are dying because of their sins. Preachers are committing suicide, not because they are martyrs or they're so spiritual. Oftentimes when a person commits suicide, they're committing suicide because of their pride. And by the way, we need to get rid of the word suicide. It's a beautiful word for murdering yourself. And God is against murder. God gave a commandment, thou shalt not kill. And may God help us with these theologians telling people in any kind of way that you're going to heaven when you kill yourself. I doubt it. These are people who are trying to control everything. They're so proud and arrogant. They are trying to control everything, even their own death. And sometimes they take others with them, trying to play God in the lives of others as well. And then people are pushed by the devil and their flesh to kill themselves, even in the church, because they know they're not doing, Danae, what they should be doing for God, or they don't have the right relationship with God. Newsflash. Jesus Christ is not in the suicide business. He's in the eternal life business. So this is unprecedented in the church for over 2,000 years, and all of a sudden we have people just accepting this foolishness. People are dying because of their own hypocrisy, their own sin, their own evil. I know that doesn't sound comforting to you. I know that that doesn't sound encouraging, but it's just a reality, people. People in the church, by suicide and other means, are dying today, left and right, because of sin, rebelliousness, foolishness. And we have pastors who try to make it look pretty and try to say that it's all right, basically saying it's okay for someone who claims to be a believer in Christ to kill themselves and other such foolishness. It's a whole lot of death. A whole lot of death in the church today. And some are dying because of their own hypocrisy, their own idol worship, their whoredom, their adultery. And then, as I have said before, the devil locks them into a black room with blacked out windows and no door. And they crawl into the corner in a fetal position, and the devil tells them to do it. It's happening, listen to me very carefully, it's happening across this country. Don't you get mad with me. I'm trying to save your life, because it's going to happen to you if you don't confess your sins and repent and stop living this Instagram, fake Facebook, Twitter life from hell that you're caught up in, trying to make it appear like you're happier than your other sisters and brothers in Christ. Some of you people are just too happy. You're too happy. You say, preacher, what do you mean? You're trying to make yourself look so happy, like you're Kim Kardashian or somebody. Some of you folks who claim to be Christians, you're just too doggone happy. But you don't have any joy, and you don't have any peace. And you are the only one who does not realize that you are a fake, a phony, and a hypocrite. Nobody believes the lies of your picture. Stop sending us all your pictures in this place, in that place, with the fake smile in the crying eyes. There are people in the church who are truly born again and saved, and who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and who have wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight, and discernment, who can see right through you before you walk through the door, man. Stop all this fake foolishness. And you're drowning on the inside. Look like you're swimming on the outside. You're fit. Your dog is fit. You got a nice fit car. You think you have a fit job, and you got it going on. And every picture you take is of how wonderful life is for you, and you know you're drowning on the inside. You're dying on the inside because of your own sin, your own hypocrisy, hiding in a damnable closet of homosexuality and adultery and fornication and drugs and drunkenness, trying to drown your sins, your failures, your real life. Christian, talking to you. Pastor, I'm talking to you. Pastor's wife. See, what's happening is people are killing themselves because they run out of gas. Listen to me very carefully. Or they enter into a slow suicide, where they do things to their bodies where it appears that they're dying of natural causes. You know why? because they're running out of gas. They're sick and tired of posting lies on Facebook. They're sick and tired of posting fake pictures on Instagram, trying to make mom and them and everybody else and all the folks in their little church believe that they got it going on, and they're drowning on the inside with their fake smile and their crying eyes. You hypocrite, you phony, and you fake. Oh no, I'm not ready to get married, but you're having sex every day like you're married. And you think, and you have convinced yourself it's all right to have sex with somebody else's husband and somebody else's wife. Excuse me, it's not all right. And God is not pleased with many of us, black and white, red and yellow. And God is showing up, folks. And God is not only showing up folk in the church, he's showing up folk in the world, man. You never thought people could lie like they're lying today. You better get with the remnant, the true saints of God, and stick with them. Jason DeRoche said, by the end of the law, Genesis, Deuteronomy, the Bible has already described or alluded to all five of the major covenants that guide the structure of Holy Scripture: Adamic, Noahic, Abrahamic, Mosaic, Davidic, and the New Covenant. The rest of the Old Testament then builds on this portrait in detail. Accordingly, the Old Testament narrative builds anticipation for a better king, a blessed people, and a broader land. The Old Testament creates the problem, if you will, and includes promises that the New Testament solves, answers, and fulfills. We need the Old Testament. We need the Old Testament, Mr. Andy Stanley. We need the Old Testament to fully understand God's work in history. We need the New Testament to see the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And ladies and gentlemen, while America is no more chosen than any other nation in the sense that it is up there with Israel, it stands to reason that God has blessed this country down through the years because of how it was founded, minus a few other things, by his grace. But it appears that God has abandoned us as we have abandoned him as a country. That he has left us to our own devices. Not the remnant, but the country. Not the faithful few Christians who are still praying and still fighting and still witnessing, but the country. That he is dealing with us as he dealt with Israel in the Old Testament. We can track our own nation's unfortunate condition through the lens of God's dealings with Israel in the Old Testament. Some in the church today have tried to claim that the Old Testament is of lesser importance than the New, but that is not the case. Jesus Christ told us that he came to fulfill the law of the Old Testament, even as he established a new covenant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, after a lengthy summary of the Israelites and their early misbehavior, sins, and wickedness, Paul writes, "All these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Certainly, in some respects, it appears that the ends of the world are indeed upon us. Daniel S. Warner said, "We have reached an awful era in the onward flight of years. While the nations are in slumber, crying peace, mid drowning fears, lo, the shadows of creation lengthen to the eventide. The Lord is surely coming to receive his holy bride. Every human structure round us crumbles from the mighty shock while we stand upon the summit of the everlasting rock. Mighty heralds swiftly flying sounds the news from shore to shore. The bridegroom is returning and already at the door. Oh, our glorious King is coming from his country far away, for he has received a kingdom that shall stand eternally. And the saints, in all the greatness and the glory of his reign, shall rise with songs of triumph and extol his holy name." Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a Christian listening today, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your sins. I'm not talking to the remnant, because you've already done that. Your heart is right with God. Yes, there are some, but God is not pleased with many of us who name the name of Christ. And many of us have never even been born again. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are in the church, you're born again and you need to confess your sins. You already know what your sins are. Do it. That's all. Just choose to do it. And get out of the small group that encourages you to stay in your sin. I call them the nodding head group. They on the door, when you go to their doors, they have a little bobblehead that's nodding his head back and forth. Whatever mess you're in, I'm in it too. I understand. And go to the small group that is on the winner's side, the victor's side. They have the victory. You can hear the music from their room about victory in and through Christ. Go to that class. Go to that small group. And overcome the evil in your life, the sin in your life, by the grace of God. And prayer will help you. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to confess their sins and to repent of their sins, including your wife, including your husband, including your children. And get back to their first love. As you get back to your first love, his name is Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, get busy. Pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to those who are lost, who are not saved. If you can't do anything else, get back to how you used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago when you had a New Testament with you at all times, a soul-winning New Testament and gospel tracts. Back in the day when you refused to steal other folks' church members, you wanted your own. You wanted to win people who are lost and bring them into the church. Just the effort alone will get the revival fires started. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us as your Christian people, where we have sinned against you, where we have failed, and we know that we have sinned against you and we have failed and we're guilty. Our conscience is not clear. The fellowship is broken and we feel the pain of that. Lord, these are the ones that I am praying for. We pray for the other people to come to know you as Savior. And Lord, I'm praying for those saints who have gotten themselves in a mess through sin, pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness. Their marriages are shot to hell. Their children are scattered. And they're still trying to look happy when they don't even have any joy. Their heart is still broken because of their sin that has hurt so many. And they have not taken advantage of the space to repent and get it resolved and to stop the bleeding. Lord, help them to get back to that point where they can at least stop the bleeding. Confess their sin, repent, and go on from that point and be a part of the remnant again. The small little prayer group that they know are sincere. And to repent of trying to be cute and trying to make everybody think that they're happy when they're not. God help us to get out of this foolishness, this so-called prosperity, happy gospel, and get back to the real gospel. So many lives, Lord, with this false gospel, multiple false gospels, have been destroyed. There are children who will never come back to the faith because of the foolishness and the evil and the sin that comes from the false gospels running around this country that are now impacting the world. Help us to pray. Help us to confess our sins. Help us to repent. Help us to turn from our evil ways. And Lord, help us to get back to your holy word and to the old landmarks. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, dear friends, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him, Jesus Christ, for your salvation from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. You wonder why there is death? We die because of our own sin, our sinful nature, and the sins we choose to do. We can't just blame Adam and Eve. We have to blame ourselves. Our bodies will go into a grave one day. Our soul will go to heaven or hell. If we trust Christ as Savior in this life, we will go to heaven. If we reject Jesus Christ in this life, we will go to hell. Speaking of hell, to help you to understand that hell is a real place, a place of torment and darkness and pain and gnashing of teeth, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible and most preachers today. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. For he said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Hell, the lake of fire, is a real thing. Now that is bad news, but I have good news for you, straight from Jesus Christ himself, straight from his lips. For he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you if you're in this world, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life," and that is a continual perishing, a continual death, because the soul can't die. So if you want to be saved from that place called hell, believe in your heart, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That is what we call the gospel. That is what the Bible calls the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And here's God's promise. Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth of the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God, Jesus Christ, the angels, and the saints. So if you're ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, we're not talking about joining a church. We're not talking about giving any money to the church. We're not talking about getting baptized. None of those things will save you. Simple faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection will save your soul. If you're ready today, repeat after me, phrase by phrase, as we pray the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after people and things before, and many other sins. I know that I deserve hell because of my sins. Just like if I commit crimes, I deserve to go to jail. Have mercy and grace upon my soul. for Jesus Christ's sake. Please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Help me to follow you in the new life. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you trusted in your heart and you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and his work on the cross for your sins and for mine. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. Don't you ever forget it. We love you because of God's grace. And may God bless you real good is our prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.